You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, is written for you. Believe in His promises, God can.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
And, of course, in Deuteronomy, we like to go to chapter 18, don't we? But this is a great chapter, too, Deuteronomy chapter 7. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And I'm going to start reading with verse 7. The Lord did not choose you and lavish His love on you because you were larger or greater than other nations. Speaking to Israel, right? For you were the smallest of all nations. It was simply, I love verse 8, simply because the Lord loves you. You know, none of us were or are so great that we would stand out from the whole crowd. But God loves us. God loves us. And, you know, if somebody asked you, why are you so blessed? Say, because my Father loves me. I'm blessed. God loves me. And he has set me apart. And I mentioned this back several months ago. Some people talk about favor. They talk about privilege. And I'm not going to apologize for being a child of the King and having a wonderful, wealthy father who is rich in houses and lands. Did you grow up singing that song? My father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hand. That's our God. That's our God. So I'm not going to apologize for the privilege I have as a child of God. It's part of the benefits of being a king's kid. And my prayer is that all men and women would open their hearts to receive this wonderful gift that God has. Amen? Because the privilege is not limited. There's plenty more. And so that's why we keep telling the story, right? simply because the Lord loves you and because he was keeping the oath he had sworn to your ancestors. I want you to get a hold of that. The oath he had sworn to your ancestors. I'm going to mention a little bit about covenant this morning and fathers of covenant and fathers who give birth to future generations of the covenants that are established with God. Because he was keeping the oath he had sworn to your ancestors. That is why the Lord rescued you with such amazing power from your slavery under Pharaoh in Egypt. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God. And then I want you to note this part. Who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations. Well, who's going to be around to count that far? I mean, he keeps his covenant to 1,000 generations and constantly or consistently loves those who love him and obey his commands. Now, verse 10 says he does not hesitate to punish and destroy those who hate him. Therefore, obey all these commands, laws, regulations I'm giving you today. I want to just emphasize these verses that he is the faithful God. Not a faithful God. He is the only faithful God. The only God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations. Now, we know in the presentation of God speaking about his covenant and his blessings, that the scripture talks about sin being extended to what? The third and the fourth generation. But the blessing of the Lord extending to 1,000 generations. My father talked a lot about the blessing of God and how the blessing of God, which he spoke of salvation as being that initial beginning, which it is, and that's the greatest. But he spoke about how as he came to the Lord, it totally transformed everything about the McLean family. How just one person, some of you have taken this stand in your family. You may be standing alone. Some of you may be watching this morning and maybe you are the one that's standing strong in the Lord for your family, you're believing God. Or maybe you're the one that's standing taller in your family, believing the Word of God. But Dad would talk about how the McLeans, and some of you heard me say this, the men, most of them died before they were 45. And that was because of many things. It was because, I'm sure the doctors would have said, well, it's part of the genetic order that you have, it's part of the DNA. But Dad would say it's because we had a spiritual stronghold of death over our family. That because we were serving the devil and we were living a life that was riotous, that we gave ourselves over to the destruction of the devil. But Dad would say when God came into our family and Jesus became Lord of my life, then everything changed. Can you testify to that? And whether it's the father or the mother, in either case, whenever we surrender everything to God, then we have the work of God that begins to change. And Dad lived, I just came across a note this morning in one of my Bibles, Dad lived to be within 3 weeks of his 83rd birthday. And so for the McLeans to live 40 to 45 years, Dad doubled the 40 for sure, plus a little extra. And thank God for that. And that is part of the promise, is it not, of God, that if you honor your parents, there is a promise. It comes with a promise. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the earth which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And we see that in both the first covenant. We also see that in the new covenant in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And so we have a few children here this morning, and we have a few that remember you used to be a child. And you know, I grew up thinking about honoring my parents, and I don't believe I did a really great job for a lot of years as a young man. But the day came when Christ changed my heart. And from that time, I began to understand differently the relationship that a child has to his parents, and parents have the opportunity to have to their child. It wasn't too long after I had come to the Lord, just a short number of years, that my father would have a horrific backsliding season in his life. And that season would bring a lot of pain to my mother and pain to our whole family. It really broke the family up. Dad ended up, he had an affair, and as a result, I have two sisters that I'm blessed to have today. But those were tough times. Sin, division, divorce, thank you for the grace of God that heals and delivers us, forgives us, and gives us new beginnings. Thank God for that. But there isn't any way to hide the fact that all sin brings with it some level of destruction and an attempt to bring death. And there's a level of pain that is associated with it. During those years of struggling, sitting with Mom many nights till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, my mother would often say, I wonder what I did wrong. I wonder how I could have done things different. Mom was trying to look back and figure out how she could have fixed things. And some who are listening today may look over your life and wish that you could go back and fix things. But after all those years of Mom's concern, and as long as I was home, Mom would still have these seasons of just weeping and crying. They became less and less. But she would blame herself, and she would say, surely I'm the fault for our family coming apart. But I want to tell you this morning that you will gain no great profit from trying to figure out the past, who failed the most, who is most responsible, who should get the blame. You're not going to profit from thinking and playing those old records very much this morning. I know that there may be times of healing, maybe there are visitations where God may take you back to seasons or places where the work of God in your life calls you to surrender those things to the love of God and the blood of Christ so they can be buried in the sea of God's forgetfulness. But family, you know, I believe all of you know who are here this morning, and I trust that all who will watch this will know or will come to know that if you are in Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. On this Father's Day, I want to say to fathers that none of you, none of us, have got it all right. We couldn't. We can't. We won't. Some who listen may say today, I'm ashamed of my past. I'm embarrassed over my past. I have regrets over my past. And I would love to go change my past. But men, let me tell you, you cannot change your past, but by the grace of God, you can grow forward today in your walk with God. Ladies, you can grow forward today in your walk with God. It is the call of the Holy Spirit, not a call that takes us back into the days of no truth. But in John it says, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, the world of sin, the lost of sin, and judgment to come. But to you who are righteous, the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into all truth. Can you say amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead you back into yesterday's sin and puts you into a place of great regression. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you forward into all truth. And let me encourage you this morning, regardless of how much lie is a part of your past, if Jesus is a part of your today, then the Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you into truth. And the Word says something about truth. It says, you shall know the truth. Help me finish it. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the Word says, who the Son has set free is what? Free indeed. So if the Son of God has set you free, then you are free indeed. And I want to tell you who God has set free is able to bring freedom to others. Years ago, I was reading a book on forgiveness, reconciliation, and restoration. And in this book, as I read this book, I was challenged in some of the areas of my life where I believed I had forgiven. I believed that I had done all I could even to endeavor to forget. But then when I came to that aspect of restoration, I realized that the Word of God tells us that God is able to restore us in a way that most of us as humans will never fully grasp. I was challenged to look at the life of Peter. You remember Peter, right? He's a disciple. He is a brave heart. And he's a big mouth. But I admire his faith. I admire the fact that Peter was the one that would challenge the boundaries. Peter was willing to challenge his fears. He was willing to stand up when the others were still sitting down. You remember he got out of the boat at the Lord's command. He was willing to get up and step out. But as I looked I was brought by the Holy Spirit to look at Peter's life and to look at his failure. And did Peter fail fairly big? I mean, according to the Word of God, he did. Because Jesus had said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before who? My Father that is in heaven. Let me tell you, denying the Lord is no small thing. So when Peter denied the Lord, and he cursed and he swore and he fled away, and we remember that whole passage where Peter earlier had said, Even if I have to die for you, I will do it, Lord. And I believe that's what he believed in his heart, that he had that level of commitment. But yes, Peter failed. But so have you. So have I. You say, yeah, but Peter knew better. So have I. If you ever fall into that trap of the enemy, you don't deserve this. This should have never happened to you. You should have had a better life. You shouldn't have been abused like that. You shouldn't have been spoken to in that kind of a manner. You shouldn't have these scuffs and scars in your life. That person knew better. And I remember telling God that one day. That was one of my prayers. Foolish prayer it was. God was not impressed that I had a great record of someone's wrongs against me. And I was telling him about it. And I carried this for days. I carried it, I believe, for weeks. And I finally got to that point where I said, God, but this individual grew up with the Word. They understand the truth. They know better. And in the silence with the audible ear, in my heart, I heard the booming response from God the Father who said, and my son, how many times have you known better, and yet you didn't do it? Maybe you've been there. Maybe you have been the individual that judged. Maybe you have been the individual that failed. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of glad that we don't hang our clothes up on the line. There's something about that as a little boy being out with mom. You know, we had the clothesline. And mom would hang up the clothes. And even as a little boy, when it came to my underwear, I was always embarrassed that mom was going to hang up the underwear. You know, and she would hang up parts of clothing that I didn't understand as a little guy. And I'm like, I don't even know what this stuff is. And then I'm thinking, and the neighbors can see it. My buddies can see it. I don't like this. And Tom Creighton, when he was living in the office for a season before he was kind of back and forth as he was transitioning, he said, I'm not going to spend all that money at the laundromat. So he bought a used washing machine. Up went a clothesline across the back of the radio station. And Tom hung up all of his skibbies and everything else right out behind the radio station. And I would come in and think, how can you do this, Tom? And he told me one day, he said, I grew up where there were row houses. He said, we lived in a row house. I didn't really even understand what a row house was. I never lived in that kind of a neighborhood. But he said, everybody saw what you wore. They saw the unders and the outers. Everybody could hear what you were saying. They could almost know what you were thinking because life was so public. How many of you are glad this morning that God doesn't make the things that are in his sea of forgetfulness public? Fathers, dads, men. In particular, I want to say to you this morning that God could expose everything if he had chosen to expose it all. Many other people choose to expose. The devil chooses to expose. And maybe there's a season for exposure. But I was just reading in the Word where he has removed from us our transgressions. And he's placed them not as far as the north is from the south. No, because then you could go to the poles. But he has removed them as far as the east is from the west. Never to be remembered against us anymore. This, of course, is not just for men, but it's for women. It's for young people who could be embarrassed if every thought and every action and every memory would be exposed. But God has chosen not to do that. I mean, there are times when God will bring cleansing and purity, and we've spoke of that, to his house. And there are times when God will send the prophet out of mercy so we're not destroyed by our sin. But God does not enjoy the sin of anyone's life, but he delights to bring forgiveness. So I struggled with some of that. It wasn't so much the idea of forgiveness, because we pray in the prayer Jesus taught, forgive us our trespasses. You've all heard it, but I believe it bears repeating when we think about this, because children hear things different. And when I read about that child that prayed, the child always thought, when they prayed this prayer, that what they were saying was trespasses. And so the kid would always say, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who pass trash against me. And I'm not sure that the child was too wrong with that, because that's sort of what happens when we forgive others who trespass. That's like when they walk on our feet, or they choose to stand on our feet, or they choose to take advantage of our wonderful day by trying to mess it up. We pray that, forgive us our trespasses as. This is like a ruler, a measuring stick. And so if the measuring stick is up there for us to see, whose measuring stick should we look to? Could I suggest we go to the cross? And Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's been beaten. He has thorns. There's blood all over his face. His bones are exposed. In fact, Psalm says it's hard to recognize him as a man. And in that condition where he has been brutalized and bloodied to that point, as he looks at those who have done it, who have spat at him and probably thrown rocks at him and beat him and lied about him, who he only loved and came to save, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." Yes, the Father spoke to me about this whole thing of restoration. I mean, can you imagine if God said, "I'll forgive you, but I'm never going to give you the benefits of one who is forgiven"? Can you imagine that? "I forgive you, but I don't like you. I forgive you, and I love you, but don't expect me to ever show up for you again. Don't expect to ever count on me again. I'm not going to show up to be used or abused again." You see, forgiveness, and you know what? We all need this. Why is it we don't forgive ourselves sometimes? Because we have this standard where we say, "I forgive, but I forgive with some criteria attached, some limitations attached, some guidelines attached, some rules attached. I will forgive you on this basis." What if God forgave us like that? And God said, "Incidentally, I forgive you, but I'm going to remind you of it every time we talk." Or if God said something like this, like the little fresh, young, jumpy, energetic puppy who gets the swat with the paper, and the paper doesn't work, and Daddy was a farm boy, and Dad would never let a dog in the house. And Dad would say, "If they don't get it with the paper, stick his nose in it." How would we be if God did that with us? Why is God the Father so incredibly awesome to us? Because God the Father loved us more than anyone else, and He gave His Son. So God had to deal with me about this thing of restoration. It's like, "Okay, God, I forgive, but I don't want to see Him again. I forgive, but I don't want to be hurt again. I forgive, but that's it. That's it. I'm done. God said, "Jonathan, when I forgave you, I made a decision to never limit my love again in the future based upon your failure in the past." Let me say that again. The Father dealt with me and said, "Jonathan, when I forgave you, I had already made this decision that when I forgave you, I would remove it so it was not part of your future. I would never bring it up again." Wow. I kind of like that. I like that God does that. This is Father's Day. Maybe some of you dads weren't quite as perfect as God.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com.